This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Time to bring in Mayor John Tory back at his regular time slot at 5:35. We do appreciate you doing this, by the way. I know I feel like, you know, it's in some ways people now expect it of you, and in no way do we. I think it's just nice that you've been doing this for the last, what, 5-6 weeks now.
Yeah, and I found it very useful, that, and I answer questions in the morning, the first thing in the morning at 6:30 on CP24, and I think what it's helped with a little bit, aside from when you get cantankerous, is that it's helped to answer questions for people, because they have a lot of questions about, you know, all kinds of different things, and I hope I've tried to sort of inform them a bit, maybe reassure them a bit, but I've found it very useful to me, because I hear what's on people's minds, and that's helpful, too.
Excellent. It's a good little two-way street, even when I get cantankerous and you get cantankerous back at me.
Yeah, well, most days, but never mind.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the first text message. We've actually had this a couple of times, and I've been meaning to bring it to you. People saying that they've seen construction workers, that are working on things like the Eglinton Crosstown, for example, that aren't social distancing. Is there instruction being given to workers who are out there? A number of people are saying it's not a great example. If we're all expected to do it, why aren't they?
I totally agree, and they are. They're not exempt. They're exempt from not being able to work, but they're not exempt from the social distancing. And in fact, the construction sites that have been closed down in some instances are places where it's been impossible to social distance. And we've just said, fine then, if it's not possible, then you have to close it because it's not safe for health. So, again, I'm not trying to sort of encourage people to turn it into a complete society of, Mrs. Kravitz's, but they should phone into 311. And I think especially when it's a public project like that that's undertaken by the government of Ontario, we should be setting an example.
Now, obviously good news about the acceleration of summer construction, but a lot of people are wondering about extra noise because, you know, Torontonians do love to complain about noise.
Well, you're right, and that's a major consideration in all this because we really, really thought it would be smart and sensible and people would expect us, and I think you guys have even asked me about this before, to move ahead and accelerate some construction when the traffic is down, 50, 60%. But one of the other things we're going to be doing is work that will happen sometimes in extended hours. So we're going to be mindful of that. What I say is that we try to do the kind of work that is noisy during the day and do the other kinds of work at night. But even things now like the backing up of trucks that beep, they beep when they back up. And if you're in a condo building, you hear that. So I really understand that, and we're trying to do all these trade-offs between getting stuff done faster and getting the misery over with and some extra noise. So each project has its own, kind of set of considerations in that regard, but we certainly take that into account. But we really want to take advantage of this opportunity to get all these projects right across the city, big ones on big streets that are, very disruptive to traffic before the traffic hopefully normalizes. We want it to normalize. Maybe not back to fully normal, but we want it to normalize soon, so it means we're all back to work.
This may be a bit of a localized one, and I'm not sure if it's replicating itself across the city of Toronto. I'm not even sure this is in your ballpark, but we'll give it to you anyway. Mayor Tory, I live near Northern Secondary School. I guess that's what, Eglinton?
Mount Pleasant and Eglinton, yes.
Basically, they're saying that there's garbage everywhere. None of the garbage has been picked up since before the March break, since all of this transpired. Is there anything you can do about that?
Yes, I'll get people to pick it up on Monday. In fact, if that person wants to send you just a little further detail, like is it right on Mount Pleasant or is it on a street nearby there, we can have a crew out maybe even over the weekend. And you can phone 311 as well to the listener anytime and phone in hotspots like that on garbage, but I will certainly get on it if somebody could give me more precise directions on where it is, and you can text me, Ryan, and I'll get on
it. I will get that done for you.
How hard was it to make the decision to sort of cancel everything when it comes to Canada Day and make it virtual? Can you walk us through that?
Well, every one of these is hard. Closing Hyde Park completely was hard in the Blossom Festival. Canada Day, I've gone around each year because it's one way I can get right across the city and gone to sort of pretty well every one of the ones I announced were being canceled today. Scarborough, everywhere. East York is a great parade. Mel Lastman Square is a fantastic fireworks demonstration. But you know what? It, even if we get well into Premier Ford's phased program, if you just do the math, we're going to be just into it, around that time, maybe phase two. It depends on how well we do on the numbers. numbers, we're not going to be ready for huge crowd scenes where there are thousands of people shoulder to shoulder watching fireworks, not because we don't want to watch the fireworks, but because people are going to be so close to each other at a time when the virus can still be spread. So it was just one of those things. We kind of put it off, hoping things would get better, but they didn't. I mean, didn't get better fast enough to be realistic and say July 1st is not going to work. And so for this year, it'll be done virtually and hopefully get back to the live celebrations next year.
When you look at it, let's talk a little bit about the announcement from the Premier today. I thought it gave people a little bit more hope, which was good. I think when you hear about progress, even if it's small, even if you weren't planning to go to a garden center and get some curbside pickup of whatever it would be, whether it's flowers, whether it's grass seed and that kind of stuff, you look at it and I think it's a positive. Any information we get from anybody in the level of government that looks like progress is positive to me. When we look at the city of Toronto, of course, we're still facing a big number of cases. Will we have more stringent rules in place as we go forward in all of this as a city just to be on the safe side?
I think there are some things that could happen slower, but what we're really trying to do, as you've noticed, I hope, is that we're trying to follow along with the provincial program because we think it'll be simpler for people to understand. So, we're going to be moving ahead to prepare our golf courses, as today's announcement allows us to do. I think we own five of them. And, hopefully they'll open for play. If I was a guessing man, I'd say they're going to allow the 2 weeks to get them ready, and they'll open just as miracle would have it on Victoria Day weekend. So we're going to move ahead on that, and we're trying to stay hand in glove. When they did the community gardens, we did the rules for the city of Toronto, because we have many, many of these gardens. We have a lot more allotment gardens, which are down on places like the Leslie Street Spit. But the bottom line is, we're trying to follow along and get our community gardens open. I think they're going to be open starting on Monday. So we're going to follow the program, and we have that great sense of hope as well. But we also know the first part of his program was, as you'll recall, 2 to 4 weeks of better test results. And so that's going to be a precursor to anything much more than the golf courses and the marinas and the small shops that he talked about today.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Vic Fedeli, the Economic Development Minister, kind of break it down, saying, listen, this is what we have to do with every single business, every single retail outlet. We have to say, in golf, and he used the example, do we have golf with no carts so we don't have to worry about people having to clean down those carts? Do we just say no to golf tournaments? It's an interesting look behind that curtain, and it really does give people an idea of the challenges you are all working with.
I've seen some of the rules, for example, for golf courses that have reopened in other places, and they say no scorecards and no pencils. No people can ride in a cart together that don't live together. You don't touch the flagstick. There are no rakes in the sand traps because they don't want you touching the rakes and then putting it down. It goes on and on. There's like pages of rules for a golf game. But, if you want to have this as a safe sport for now with this unusual situation, that's what you have to have. And, of course, that spreads across, everything. I mean, we've talked before about restaurants and bars and shops, even a fabric shop, which they allowed to open today. I mean, there's going to be rules about how many people can go in the store at once, and then you cover off, do people have to have a mask on? And, so it's a complicated business, but we're making some progress. And as you say, there are signs of hope generated by even these small examples of things that can open up again. And I hope it keeps going. I really, really do. None of us want to prolong this at all, but we just have to make sure we do it right and watch what's going on in places like Quebec and learn from that as much as we can.
With so many rules being put in place for businesses to open, how are we going to enforce them? How do we make sure that businesses follow the measures?
That's a really good question, Jay, but it's sort of like how are we going to enforce a lot of things? I mean, even the stuff in the parks, the bylaw that I brought in and that some people take objection to and that we renewed yesterday for the next period of time. I mean, we don't have enough people. We have 1,500 parks. We don't have enough people. If we assigned all of them all at once to do nothing but this, we don't have enough people to enforce it. So you have to rely on the common sense of people. And this weekend, with the really nice weather, especially on Sunday, we're relying on the common sense of people to know that this is for their own good and for their own economic recovery and their own health. And I think people have been getting it much better. And we haven't, we've discussed before, we haven't given out that many tickets. 500 tickets over 6 weeks, over 3 million people in 1,500 parks is really not a lot of tickets. And most of those people were probably, flipping the bird at somebody from the enforcement end of it and probably deserved a ticket for that as opposed to the physical spacing.
I will end it with this because it's a great text message at 7:10:10. You'll appreciate this. Cantankerous, that's a funny way to spell Ryan as an ass.
Oh, dear. I have no comment.
There you go. Mr. Mayor, always a pleasure.
Have a great weekend, okay? And remember
Thank
to follow the rules now. Ryan, we're going to have people at the enforcement. We're having a couple of people just follow you around. You deserve that.
Well, you'll only find me in my backyard because I've been following the rules.
Okay, good for you. I'm sure you have. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend, guys, and to all the listeners.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, sir.
Toronto's Mayor John Tory.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.